Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only Caps radio show that strictly talks hockey. If any questions, comments, concerns, give us a call. 204-269-8636. That's 204-269-UMFM.
Going back to the 90s with this one. A little Space Hog. Woo, missed this one.
We were at work today at lunch, and we were looking up all the Big Shiny Toon CDs. At lunch.
Look at you.
Bringing back the
not bad
Smash Mouth.
The old classics, eh? Classics now for us, but so a little Space Hog in the meantime as we fade that out. We get into the show as we get everything sort of kicked off here with some craziness. So I want to bring in to my right, directly across from you, Bean, sitting there waiting to explode on the AUS, is none other than our friend from the Manitoban, Jason Pajek. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Big show tomorrow for you, I guess, with This Week in Bison Sports in terms of 11 o'clock in the morning. We got going to have lots to talk about tomorrow. I mean, there's Bison's hockey to talk about. There's all sorts of basketball. I mean, again, play-in game tonight, too.
Yeah.
Westman and Bison's for men's basketball.
Yeah.
And then Lethbridge is hosting for the first time. I didn't know this, and I was reading this the other day. For the first time since 1994, Lethbridge's women's basketball team is hosting a game.
My entire life has gone by until they've been able to get another one.
1994. I was like, that's crazy. How have they existed that long and never hosted a game? And I guess that's just the way it bounces. So,
there you go.
So a couple of big games tonight. Tune in tomorrow at 11 a.m., as Jason was saying, for This Week in Bison Sports. But glad to have you here tonight, Jason.
Yeah.
We got lots to talk about. And I know we're going to start off with the big story. If you missed it, folks, I'm not going to play the one that has all sorts of bad language in it, but I'm going to play this as we get ourselves set for a little craziness here.
Vasquez on, and now between the two benches, we've got sticks and players and a brawl here in Acadia. They've emptied the benches, and now the coaches are trying to get in the middle of it. This is ugly. I have never seen this. Everybody fighting over at the Acadia bench. Darren Burns trying to get...
So as we fade out the AUS TV broadcast of the bench-clearing brawl that happened on Saturday in terms of Acadia and the St. Francis Xavier X-Men. Acadia X-Men, which I don't understand. Why do you have two names that are virtually the same? X-Men and X-Men, but whatever. The St. Francis Xavier X-Men... took some offense to a comment that was thrown out. We'll get into this in a second, but I've seen a fight happen in preseason hockey. I've seen a couple of fights. I know the Bisons were involved in a bit of a melee.
There were a couple. Liam Bilton was involved in the last few games.
But I mean, I have never seen during the season a bench clearing brawl like this, simply because of the amount of penalties, the amount of punishment that usually is doled out to these U Sports teams for that. I mean, again, they let them get away with it in the preseason a little bit because it's preseason, who gives a crap? But at the same time, though, this is two games before the playoffs start, and we're talking there are going to be a multitude of players that may not make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, and the suspension is, if you get in a fight, it's an automatic one-game suspension. It's the same thing for a headshot. It's the same thing, I think, for a late-game misconduct. And that one game is a huge percentage of the season for these guys. Like, they play 28 games, missing one of those, and you're missing, like, at least, well, like, I can't do math. So
it'd be like three games in the NHL.
1/28 of a game.
There you go.
Hey,
look at the fractions of beans. Wow.
Bringing me back.
Yeah.
So, as stated, Saturday night, we saw this breakout, insane setups. Again, people questioning what happened, what went on, what's going on with this. Monday morning, St. Francis Xavier finally releases a statement about everything that happened. Now, Acadia hasn't said a word yet. Acadia hasn't even come forward and said we were a part of this yet. They haven't even acknowledged that it happened. St. Francis Xavier, though, came out and said that basically it surrounded an entire situation. Again, the situation we're not sure about. I'll get into this in a second. Regarding forward Sam Studnicka, who was a target of a derogatory comment related to a sexual assault survivor. Now, what the connection is with Studnicka and whoever the survivor is wasn't made clear. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's really bringing it up. Again, nobody really wants to, you know, skeletons in the closet or, you know, unearth graves, anything like that in terms of stuff that's already been sort of put to rest. But it's fairly clear that somebody from Acadia may know a little bit more than what the news does, because whatever was said sparked this entire sequence of events.
What happened? Acadia actually released their statement today.
Yeah, we'll talk about their statement because their statement's...
Yeah.
No, it was yesterday.
Yesterday, okay. Because
their statement is a lot of...
Hot garbage?
That would be putting it mildly, and I'll talk about why in a second. So, but I mean, again, I don't know what was said, and I don't know who said it. They're not identifying anybody in terms of who may be responsible. They have.
It makes it seem like that the player from Acadia is involved in the situation somehow, so it's between Studnicka and that player, and then potentially a third party.
Now, Studnicka, for those who may be wondering, how is he maybe involved? He played for 5 years, or for 4 years in the OHL. He played on a number of different teams, Oshawa, Sarnia. He was all over the place. We've already heard from Daniel Carcillo about some of the stuff that went on in Sarnia. I don't know if this is related to, and I'm not going to make that leap either. But if something happened on one of these OHL teams where these players were involved, they know more than we do right now. Nothing was brought into the news. I did an exhaustive search yesterday for it, trying to find out where this may have happened. Nobody's got any information on it, and that's fine. Again, we're not looking to rehash old problems and bring them up again. However, and again, Studnicka came out and said he's proud of the way the teammates stood up for him and for something bigger than hockey. So I'm guessing that Studnicka may be a victim in this in terms of what went on.
Mm-hmm. That was my thought.
Yeah, and certainly his teammates on St. Francis Xavier know what happened and certainly are aware of the situation. The AUS came out on Monday and said there's going to be mandatory suspensions. Like, be prepared. But there'll be additional suspensions levied once everything gets solved, once we figure out where this investigation is going to go. So as it stands, as of Wednesday afternoon, there were 15 players had been suspended, 9 of which were from St. FX. Both head coaches also suspended. The longest suspension handed out was a five-game ban to, let me see if I can find out who it was, to Aaron Hoyles of the St. FX X-Men. He got 2 games for leaving the bench, 2 games for being a third man into a fight, and a second game misconduct in the same season, which brought him up to, that's an additional game, which went up to 5 games total. He legitimately, depending on what happens in the playoffs, he legitimately will miss both games this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and likely the entire first round of the playoffs. Likely. And I only say likely because if they sweep in 2, he's done.
Yeah.
He's still out for the first game of the next round. The sickening part of this is that these teams right now, if everything plays out the way it's supposed to this week in terms of the way the AUS is situated, these two teams will meet in the first round of the playoffs.
Not a lot of guys on their bench.
The scary part is that you're right. With 9 players suspended, there's not going to be a whole lot of room for you to sort of kick back and relax on that bench.
And
but
this could get a lot worse.
So this is where I want to turn it to the Acadia side now. And Jason, you brought this up. Acadia decided yesterday they were going to release a statement. All right. So originally, after St. FX released their information on Monday, Acadia basically came up and said, "We dispute the validity of everything that St. FX said. We don't believe that this happened the way they said it happened. We're going to dispute the facts. Like, we think our student is completely innocent on this. Like, don't confuse the problem here. You're only getting one side of the story." So Acadia went back and they started doing their own digging in terms of what went on. By Wednesday, this is what they had released. And I will quote this directly from their statement. I quote, "On February 2nd, an incident occurred during a hockey game between the Acadia University Axemen and the St. Francis Xavier University X-Men that is unacceptable. As we indicated in our last communication, we would not make further public comment until Atlantic University Sport rendered its decision on discipline. We accept today's ruling, the extensive amount of suspensions, by the AUS. At no time does violence in any form have a place in sport or in society in general." Here's where things went off the rails in terms of this statement. "Acadia acknowledges that one of our student athletes made an inappropriate comment during a particular word containing a particular word, excuse me, to a St. FX student-athlete during the third period of Saturday's game." So Acadia, who disputed the facts before, has now come out and said, yeah, he did it. Sorry about that. Like, he did it. Yeah. We're going to own up to it. "A play on which a penalty to Acadia was assessed." So as if that makes it better. I don't know if that does.
That's part of my problem.
I'm not certain that you can get away with racist comments and go, oops, my bad.
Yeah.
But in society, apparently, that's...
It made them feel better to say
we're
it.
Figuring out that in Virginia, it's not going to be
exactly.
Any
that's okay there. The Acadia, it goes on. The Acadia student-athlete admitted and took responsibility immediately after the game and extended an apology. Again, I don't think the apology was accepted.
No, I think it's a little late.
This information was shared with the AUS. Acadia disputes that the comment was made deliberately or that it was made with the intent and in the context in which it has been portrayed in mainstream and social media. Hold on, hold the boat. Hit the brakes right there.
That's the line that made me mad.
I don't care what the intention was. I don't care what any sort of context you're... You can't just walk down the street and start screaming the N-word because that is going to get you... is going to put you in all sorts of trouble. The same goes for the... And the worst part about this is that these kids, and I call them kids,
they're 21
adults,
plus.
Exactly. These are adults playing this game.
Yeah.
And Acadia comes out with a excuse my language, with a BS statement like that. No, get out of here. You don't deserve to play in the AUS anymore, Acadia, until you actually accept the fact that, you know what? We're part of the problem.
Yeah.
And I only say that because this is the second time in 24 months that Acadia and St. Evex have had a problem with somebody saying something they shouldn't have on the ice. I don't know what else you can say about this other than Acadia University should be ashamed of itself and should likely take a step back and go, we need to reassess our program.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is reassessing the whole program. I mean, there's been situations before where they've stopped a program.
Ottawa GGs are a perfect example.
To fix a problem, and that's where I was going with Ottawa. And I mean, it might come down to that. That's what's going to happen is they have to stop a problem, teach these players about, you know, respect and certain situations, give them certain chances of counseling and stuff like that, and fix the problem. Fix the problem throughout the whole school. It's obviously, it might be just a hockey problem, but fix it in the whole school.
Beans, I think you hit it on the nail on the head, and I was actually laughing when you asked me to come on the show today, because I'm actually writing an editorial about this incident, and what I'm going to argue, or what I am arguing, is that this is a problem indicative of the hockey community in general, and the on-ice behavior. So it's, for some reason... Hockey is this sport that champions things like you can play, Bell Let's Talk, Hockey Fights Cancer, you know, everybody talks about how good hockey guys are and hockey girls are, but as soon as the puck drops, we all turn into animals, and anything and everything goes in terms of what's being said. You know, PK Subban has to deal with racism, Jordan Tutu had to deal with racism, and the impacts of coming forward with his mental health problems and his alcohol addiction.
Yep.
Dan Carcillo still gets people coming after him about his mental health problems and his attitudes on the ice. It's a problem of this community that is allowing these things to happen. And the most that happened was the guy got a 2-minute penalty and was right out on the ice again.
But I'm not gonna justify what Acadia has done here. I'm gonna only say this because. I don't think it gives context to what happened in this sport, but it gives context as a general sort of dialogue. If you look at ancient Rome, they consider themselves to be, I'm going to say, fairly sophisticated, fairly well adjusted people. Yeah, they went out and conquered lands, and certainly, you know, did their part in terms of trying to conquer the world. But the moment you put 20,000 Romans into the Colosseum, they were as bloodthirsty as any other savage community you could find anywhere.
They couldn't wait for the lions to attack.
And they were looking for blood at that point. Again, I'm not saying that the hockey community is entirely like that, but you get the sense that mob mentality, that setup, the way that it's going in terms of how things are sort of portrayed, especially in this case. This is not a good look for hockey at all.
It's a fair comparison, right?
This is toxic masculinity when it comes to don't ask, don't tell from behind inside dressing rooms, when it comes to hiding the truth in terms of what's happened. This is that same problem that Daniel Carcillo tried to expose with Sarnia in terms of what went on there. All of this stuff points back to one problem, and the one problem is... It doesn't have to. What happens in the dressing room stays in the dressing room, and that attitude alone, I'm not going to say it's gotten people killed, but it's certainly killed a number of careers.
And the fact that it can bleed out. And even when it does bleed out, the punishments are asinine. You know, you guys get suspended. Like, we, as a hockey community, tons of people go out and say, oh, well, you know, you have to answer the bell, players will police themselves. But at a certain point, it's not going to work anymore.
See, and I have a problem because they went through and they both sided at one point of the article. You know, we've gotten threats from one of our students, St. FX. I don't know how they found out that St. FX is getting threats from to one of their students about what's gone on, but that seems a little back roadish to me in terms of, well, if it happens over here, it must be happening over here. The part that killed me about that statement at the very end, though, was, quote, "We are acutely aware of the importance of making every effort to eliminate sexual violence and re-victimization of survivors everywhere in our society." And yet they're defending the player who actually did that.
If you are serious about this, drop that kid from your program.
Not only drop the kid from the program, again, I think that the AU... I understand you're going to affect 20, 22, 23 other kids. But this program needs to have its entire sort of culture checked if this is the second time it's happened in a 24-month span. I get the chirping happens on the ice. Guys will go out there and they'll chirp back and forth. There's WHL, OHL, QMJHL rivalries that are still alive between some of these players. I get that. But you don't... There are things you just don't say to other people. And this obviously crossed that line because the result was everybody was throwing punches. Yeah.
So why can we... Fighting is allowed on the ice, but as soon as you are past those boards, you can't fight in the hallway. But for some reason, if there's something going on in somebody's life outside that rink, it becomes fair game as soon as they step on the ice. And that's my problem.
But that's the thing, is that it shouldn't become fair game. Again, chirp the guy, you know, oh, nice move if he, you know, screws up on a breakaway or whatever.
For being a pylon or having stone hands.
Something to do with the game.
Right. But if you go and start making it crossing that line of into people's personal lives... You're playing the wrong sport, man. You shouldn't even be involved in the sport at that point.
Yeah, this is a problem in society in general. I think there are no more second chances for things like this. I think everybody knows about it. Everybody hears about it enough. There shouldn't be no more second chances. If something like this happens in our game nowadays, no tolerance for that. Gone. See you later.
Yeah. And if nothing happens from it, then that guy's going to step forward into his personal life and his life outside the rink, and he's going to carry those beliefs and those attitudes with him, and then that's going to, you know, people are going to be watching it, and there's going to be impressionable kids out there, or there are going to be other players that realize, oh, this is all right, and that reinforces and normalizes this behavior, and it just becomes a bigger and bigger problem. If it's not checked, then it doesn't get fixed.
And I'm going to go back to the Austin Watson problem in the NHL.
Yeah.
The issue,
not only Austin Watson, Slavoj Voynov,
yeah,
the whole thing.
Tons. That they're saying that by reducing suspensions or reinstating these guys, saying that it's not as bad as you say it is.
Well, that's not really the statement, but the perception is that.
The perception is that. And then we see a guy like Austin Watson is now in rehab and is having to deal with the problems after they said, it's okay, we can reduce
your suspension. You can come back,
You can come back. So there's not a clear level of what's happening with this. It's just,
if I'm the AUS right now, and I know these two are destined to meet in the playoffs this year, it will be made very clear. I mean, bulletin board notification in terms of everybody that walks by, you better read this. That if there's even anything remotely close to anything suspicious going on in terms of somebody saying something to somebody else, that not only will the penalties be harsh, but they will follow through in terms of following your career for the rest of your life. You will not play this sport until you can understand that this kind of behavior that, and I'm not talking the fighting, I'm talking about the comments that were made prior to the fight, that this kind of behavior will not go unpunished no matter how far and how deep you go into life. You will regret doing anything like this again.
But we're saying that about a sport where there are still NHL teams sniffing around, wringing their hands trying to sign Slavoj Voynov.
And I get that. I understand that there's a problem in hockey. But at some point, somebody's got to start putting their foot down and saying, not in my league. And if the AUS was the first to do it, I will champion
all power to them.
I will champion the AUS until the end of time, because this is absolutely abhorrent in terms of the way that this whole thing played out. And the fact that Acadia is out there defending their student, I get that. You're trying to make sure this kid's life isn't completely derailed by one stupid moment, but there are consequences in life that you have to deal with. And if you're going to do something stupid, it's time that you, especially as an adult, you can't be babied at this point. There are no gloves to coddle this kid anymore.
And it's not one stupid moment. It's the fact that this happens every day, and we all know it happens every day. So for you to come out and add to the problem, it's not one moment. It's been hundreds of millions of moments that have happened, and you are just adding on to it.
This is the one that gets publicized. That's the problem.
You know it's wrong, so why are you doing it?
To me, if I'm Acadia right now, and I accept the fact that we have a playoff series to play, but this is the last hockey you'll see from Acadia University until we clean up this program. That would be the statement that comes out from Acadia. No. We will finish the season, and then we are going to take a long, hard look at how we build our program.
The people that are in charge of our program.
Exactly.
Everybody. The whole, even the school, just the school in general. I mean, it's a problem in the school, obviously, as well, because it's been happening more than once. Maybe it's hockey in general, but the school eventually has to step in and say something, right? If the hockey programs are running the school, we have a problem.
We are confident this review will reveal the facts surrounding Saturday evening's event. I don't understand why they are doing a review. When the player already admitted he did it.
Yeah.
That's the only fact that matters.
Did officials hear it? Did any...
Well, he got a penalty for it.
Yeah, that's what Stadnicka, I mean. Stadnicka told the officials. Yeah. The officials went over, assessed the penalty, told the coach what they were told, and said, okay, this is what happened.
Correct.
And then the coach, after the penalty expired, the guy lines out.
Stadnicka came out to take the face off, and the coach from Acadia sent him over the boards to go face off against Stadnicka. Hmm.
So we know 100%, top down,
they knew
this is an Acadia problem.
Just shake my head.
I mean, there's a second video. If you want to look at this, Hockey Blog in Canada, I have it up there. There's a second video where it looks like a fan is reaching over the boards to where the benches are, and you can hear every word on the bench. And granted, a lot of them should be censored out because they are not for children in any way. But there's a problem on one of these benches, and I'm going to let you guess on which one, because I don't know. And again, St. FX has every right to be as angry as they are, especially the coach who comes over and basically accuses the other coach of being a terrible hockey player, and this is the result of the fact that he couldn't make it. I don't understand. Like, again, if I'm the coach at this point, I just tell the guys, like, season's over, boys. Sorry. Like, we can't go on like this.
No.
This is the type of issue that made me consider quitting hockey. Like, this is part of this part of the culture, and incidents like these are why I have considered on more than one occasion of just hanging up my skates and saying, I'm done. I'm not going to be a reporter on this. I just want to, you know, clean my hands of this sport entirely and move on with my life.
There would be no shame in admitting to that. That's the thing. I'm disgusted by the fact that this happened in Canadian university hockey, but the fact that this is happening over and over and over again and not getting publicized in other places is part of the bigger problem for me.
Yeah.
We've already seen our own conference drop the ball on an issue similar to this.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's a problem that keeps cropping up, and nobody's taking a stand and saying, no, we need to fix this.
There's too many people in charge that say it's okay. It's okay.
Like, I get it.
Boys will be boys. I keep hearing that. Boys will be boys.
None of this is okay.
Like, I get it that we're in kind of a transition phase where a new generation is coming up and bringing new values and new ideas with it. But at a certain point, there needs to be recognition that change is happening, and we need to usher it forward, not push back against it.
I agree. I think that again, if the AUS has any backbone, I'll throw them under the bus if I have to, but if they have any backbone, season ends for Acadia as of, I guess, a Friday when the last regular season game is played. You don't go to the playoffs because of this. You don't get to participate in any future games until we're satisfied that your program is now clean of any sort of problems like this. And not only that, but you are under probation for the next number of years after taking a year off. Your program will sit for an entire year, and you can't recruit, you can't do anything. Your program will sit. You will be the last to recruit because we will reinstate you like a week before the season starts, and go. And if you don't think you can field the team, not my problem.
Yep.
gives you another year to really look over the books and figure out who should be here and who shouldn't.
The consequences to these issues aren't strong enough, and I think they have to be stronger, and that would be a strong consequence.
I don't have a problem
with
that.
There's too many people that saying, nah, it's a little harsh.
You know what?
That's the comments that we hear.
But you know what? If it's harsh,
yeah,
that's the reality of the truth of the matter. You think Stadnicka appreciates the fact that he's being... Whatever happened, whatever comment was made, yeah, you think he appreciates that when the guy skates by and then is out there to face him, look him square in the eye as they drop the puck?
No. I heard the perfect comment. It comes from Neat Sager. He's a blogger and podcaster.
He had a fantastic outlook on this.
Then there's a coda, a play on which a penalty to Acadia was assessed. This is from the statement. Please save me from reading this as a belief that re-victimizing a sexual assault survivor is worth a 2-minute penalty.
Exactly. 100%. He is entirely right. And Nate is a fantastic writer, but he hit the nail on the head there. So I will go to the grave if AUS comes out and solves this problem by issuing the harshest penalty we may have seen since the GGs were suspended. I will go to the grave and say AUS hockey has it right. But if they come out and just go, you know what? There's five.
It wasn't that
bad. Here's four more games. We'll let you back into the league next year. AUS hockey is, I mean, I know UNB is a strong program, but
yeah,
this is why this is why the AUS is a joke in terms of U sports.
We grow up in the generation.
It's not a joke in terms of the way that they play. It's just a joke in that there's one good team out there and six other teams that give them practices.
Yeah, we grew up in the generation where it's, you know, our parents our coaches would tell us to walk it off. You know, it'll be fine. You just got to walk it off.
Sticks and stones, Beans.
Yeah. You know, and it's not. It's not okay. We thought it was okay back then, and it wasn't.
That the exact same. Like I was a few years later, and literally the years after I finished my minor hockey career, that's when the change started happening, and that's when people started saying, okay, concussions are actually a thing, you know, people's mental health, this is actually a thing we need to worry about. You know, I was part of that last generation that said, you know, just walk it off, you know, it's not a big deal, you got to play hurt. Like, the fact that we are moving out of that gives me hope, but the fact that we're not moving fast enough makes me worried.
Change is slow. Glacier slow in some cases.
Well, and the thing, funny thing, I was just thinking about this now, but my physiotherapist, I'm going to go to physio on every Thursday before the show, and she tells me, if it hurts, don't do it. So why, same thing with our brains, you know, if it hurts, don't do it, right?
Wow.
Get rid of it.
So the total, for those that are wondering at home, again, if you're going to go and look at the video, 320 penalty minutes handed out in that game. 320. Like that,
it's probably not enough.
That that, and again, you look at that and you go, "That's a lot of time in the box." But when you consider the fact that Santa Fe is likely, they don't have to, but will likely forfeit their games this weekend because they don't have enough players to play because they were sticking up for a guy on their team. Seems like the punishment doesn't really fit the crime here. But
yeah, it's a little backwards right now, right?
I think Acadia should be the ones that.
But
are,
it could get
right,
strong the other
and
way.
Hopefully they'll come back and you know. Yeah. Rebound with a solid punishment to what's gone on here. But if I'm Acadia and I look at this statement that was put out by my school, if I'm an Acadia student,
get me out of here.
I'm transferring. Yeah. I don't want to be part of this. I'll go find somewhere else to play. But if I'm the student athlete, but if I'm just a student, this is not the way I want my university handling.
Because that stink is going to follow you no matter what. If you're a player on that team, even if you weren't involved with this. Because you didn't stop it, you are complicit in it happening.
I mean, there were lots. Don't get me wrong. The video, again, the one that we can't play because of all the words in it. There were a lot of players that were trying to pull guys back from the fight. There were at least three players I saw from Acadia that were trying to sequester players off so they wouldn't get involved. But I mean, when there's four or five guys coming over the boards at you in white jerseys, your first thing to do is defend yourself.
Yeah.
But again, I look at that and I go, there are at least a handful of players that recognize that this shouldn't go on both sides now. I'm talking about both sides. But for the vast majority of guys that just drop the gloves and let's go at it, you are part of the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say, but
until something changes, it's...
Exactly. We are halfway through the show. We're going to change it up a little bit. I know this was a fairly heavy topic to start with, but I think it needed to be addressed, and I'm glad that we had a discussion on it. But you're listening to 101.5 UMFM, CJUMFM, 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Happy to have you along here on the Hockey Show tonight. There was this kid, this marginal fourth liner, apparently, from the Leafs that got a new contract the other day.
Just heard of him the other day. I've never
Not sure where he came
from. Arizona?
Yeah, not sure where he came from, but $11.634 million for Austin Matthews.
100% worth it. Can I just say that? 100% worth it. And Leafs fans, don't worry. You can make it work.
But it's wrecking it for the rest of
I'm going to say this only once because I know you're being slightly facetious here, Jay. If 93% of your contract is signing bonus, in other words, you don't even have to show up to play. Mm-hmm. You just need to put the jersey on once in training camp and you get paid.
What are those signing bonuses? Do we know?
You get it on July 1st. Yeah. So the actual amount, it's lockout protection. So yeah. You get the signing bonus no matter what. No matter what, on July 1st, you get a... He gets like
$9.5 million.
It's so, in his bank account, and that's that basically a lot of players. I think Tavares is at league minimum.
There's a few of them, yeah.
That $650,000 is what gets paid out throughout the season. Fun fact: because Austin Matthews is an American citizen and has American residency, he doesn't have to pay the 53% income tax on the signing bonus.
That's correct. Although it does, because he is an American citizen, who does, there still is an income tax. He will pay 43% in tax this year on that money. So he doesn't pay the full amount, but he will pay
53% in Ontario for that much money, and that's what gets taxed for the actual salary, and then it's reduced for the signing bonus.
Yeah, the marginal, but he will pay the marginal U.S. tax rate because he's going to have to claim it. He's going to have to claim as his home residence in Florida. Mm-hmm. He does have to claim. He doesn't pay state income tax, but he still will pay federal income tax. So.
And that's part that goes against their cap still, that signing bonus.
Oh, yeah, it still goes against the cap. It still counts as part of the average value in terms of the contract. But again, if he shows up and plays 1 minute of one period in the regular season, he has earned himself $10 million, 93% of that total contract.
Yep.
That's insane.
And like the whole thing, that 43% also, that is not 43%. Accountants are very smart people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's going to get a healthy chunk of that.
The Austin
He's
Matthew,
not going to H&R Block.
The Austin,
no.
The Austin Matthews Foundation will be founded in about 3 weeks, so just be aware that there's going to be a healthy charity.
He'll be
in
investing in the Canadian economy.
Yeah, exactly.
Writing it off.
In saying that, though, something's got to change in the CBA because, again, I know that, again, contracts in the NHL are guaranteed in terms of having, you know, money and term fulfilled by the teams in terms of even if you're bought out, you still get, I mean, it doubles the amount of time, but still get paid out. But you can't give and these money rich teams, Penguins, Chicago, Toronto, have done this now where they structured contracts to give players far more money as signing bonus than they do as actual salary. Something has to change there because you're actually taking the small market teams out of the race again to try and sign these. Again, I'm not saying that you know, a Winnipeg or a Nashville or anybody else is going to come along and sign Austin Matthews. Mm-hmm. But if Arizona has a bunch of expiring contracts this year and they go, we want our boy to come home and we don't care if we give up 4 first round picks because we got Austin Matthews and we're going to sell out the building now because everybody wants to come see the hometown boy play. Yeah. Why wouldn't Arizona do that? Why wouldn't Arizona make a pitch for that? And that's the question, is that if you can just go and just start dumping money on somebody's doorstep, you're kind of eliminating the whole parity issue at this point.
Mm-hmm. And then that's also why I have a problem with the differences with the state taxes, because then that further exacerbates that problem because it makes smaller market Canadian teams have more difficulty signing players. And then the other markets, you know, Arizona doesn't have to really worry about it because they're unfortunately not drawing players whatsoever,
but they
don't have very high state income tax either. So what I'm also looking for is somehow that the NHL, if they're serious about parity, they're going to try and flatten that somehow.
But the NHL can't flatten state and federal taxes. What the NHL can do, though, in terms of looking at
cap conversions,
is looking at a way to, well, no, I mean, if you reduce the amount of signing bonus that somebody can get, you can put a max signing bonus on every contract. So say it's a percentage of a contract. If you want to give Austin Matthews $11 million, the max signing bonus he can get every year would, say, be 10%.
Mm-hmm.
in order to protect you. And again, if he goes down now, and again, they're going to insure that contract, and they have no problem insuring that contract. If he goes down with an injury, they're only required, insurance is only required to pay out the $700,000 next year to Austin Matthews. They're not required to pay out $9.5 million. Or $10 million or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that kills me, is because Toronto has enough money that they can go, well, we'll give you $10.5 million, no questions asked, no strings attached. And the insurance company can deal with $700,000 because you blew out your knee in game one. No big deal.
Yeah. And part of the CBA, the I guess the function of it is to protect GMs from themselves.
And that's not happening.
Yeah. But, you know, in that way, if they were able to cap signing bonuses, then that would, in theory, help them to, so it stops GMs from handing out these ridiculous contracts and saying...
So speaking of ridiculous contracts, so Toronto now has the two highest paid centers in the league. Tavares and Matthews are going to pull down about, from what they were saying, about a quarter of the entire salary cap for Toronto next year. You still haven't signed Mitch Marner yet. Mitch Marner arguably is the better player of Matthews and Marner. Mm-hmm. Arguably. I know Toronto people are probably going to send me death threats over that, but arguably I'd take Mitch Marner over Austin Matthews every day and twice on Sundays. He's a better player, all-around player, in terms of the way he's playing right now.
He doesn't have the injury problems like Matthews with his back and his shoulder. And
looks like he's going to be a far more useful player in terms of playing up and down the roster as well. What do you give Mitch Marner then if you just gave Austin Matthews $11
million? $10 million. But they have to.
But if you're Marner, do you take 10, and at what term? Because I'm not staying long-term if you can't pay me what I'm worth.
I think what Bob McKenzie was saying, he's putting it at a three-year deal, which I think would be perfect for Marner.
I would do
whatever can get you that, because with Matthews, they didn't buy any UFA. They only bought the remainder of his RFA years.
Yes, yeah.
So for Marner, obviously Toronto's not going to be able to do this because they don't want to do that, because then you would have Matthews, Marner, and Nylander up at the same time, which is why they brought up Nylander a year before to burn that year of his contract. But for Marner, you're basically putting him at either end of that. Are you putting him to come up before Matthews comes up again or after Matthews comes up again? So if I'm Marner, I'm kind of thinking you can kind of bet on yourself and say before, or you can kind of hold out and say after. So take like a 6-year deal.
So here's why I have a problem with, and again, Matthews' contract is insane in terms of money, but here's why I have a problem. Is Austin Matthews worth $1 million less than what Connor McDavid is? John Tavares, you can make a case for. He's leading the team in points. He's leading the team in goals, or he's second in points, whatever he is behind Marner. Leading the team in goals. Mm-hmm. He has come over and he's fulfilled everything that they've asked him to fulfill. Is Austin Matthews worth $1 million less than what Connor McDavid is?
At this point, no.
No.
I think, but what I see it as is each team kind of the same thing as what happened in Detroit,
where Lidstrom
set the internal limit, where nobody is better than Lidstrom, nobody's more important than Lidstrom, so everybody takes a cut under him.
So you just brought up exactly where I was going with this, because if that's the case, then what do Laine and Connor get if Wheeler is the internal limit?
I don't think Wheeler is the internal limit, though.
I'm not certain you can pay Patrick Laine more than you can pay Blake Wheeler at this point.
Or Mark Scheifele.
Well, Mark Scheifele signed his contract a few years ago.
Before he became Mark Scheifele.
Next contract is going to be monstrous. And I get that.
And the cap's going to be way higher.
But you're Kyle Connor, who did nothing in the playoffs when he wasn't with those two, and then all of a sudden got back to the playoffs and scored like a bat out of hell. Mm-hmm. If Kyle Connor needs those two to be good, and if Patrick Laine can't put the puck in the net, you can't give them more than what Blake Wheeler gets when he's led the team in scoring for the last 4 years.
And that's what they're going to have to argue.
This is the problem.
We're going to take it to arbitration.
Thank you, Kyle Dubas, for screwing up everybody.
Yeah.
with Matthews, Nylander, with everybody he's been signing, he's screwing everybody up.
Well, they've already said that Kapanen's probably gone.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be able to keep him. Yeah. And then they're probably going to have to start shaving off defensemen right away.
Which they don't have.
Well, no, but like it'll be Jake Muzzin, Morgan Riley, and nobody else.
Yeah.
Four pylons and a kid from Pee Wee hockey down the street.
Yeah. I do like what their defensive pipeline has. I have probably a little bit more faith than a lot of people. Not as much faith as Toronto fans because crazy. But I have a little bit more faith
than
most
have
people.
They do have a good D coming up through the Marlies. But again, are you willing to turn over four NHL defensemen for four AHL defensemen next year and go, we good. We can run with this.
Well, I think the main thing that they need to do is get rid of Zaitsev. You need to get out from under that contract.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, you know, move on from Hainsey, move on from Marleau, whether that's, you know, letting their contracts expire. Marleau's still got a year left, or shipping them out at the deadline. You need to get out from under those contracts, and that'll allow you to retain Gardner. That'll allow you to retain Ozhiganov at a discounted price, because he's probably not going to demand a whole lot.
No. He shouldn't anyway.
Yeah, and then, you know, you've got guys like Dermott, and then Janssen's not going to get too much. He's going to get maybe $2-3 million. Sure, that's kind of what he's worth. So you can make the situation work. It's just going to take a little bit of finagling to get it done. You kind of need to almost need to sign Marner, you know, give Marner a one-year bridge deal to get him through this year, and then that frees up the Marleau money. And I think there's somebody else that comes up at the same time that, you know, you just let them go, and then you've got $8 million that you can just hand to Mitch Marner and say, okay, here you go. You've got your money. Let's go forward for the next 5-6 years.
It's going to be interesting because, again, you look at the other names that are Braden Point. I mean, he's going to demand – I mean, how does Tampa Bay sign him? Tkachuk's going to absolutely blow up Calgary in terms of what he gets. I mean, there are so many good players out there that are so young right now, and – signing them is going to be almost next to impossible.
Something about Tampa that kind of gets lost is that Steven Stamkos is no longer the franchise player there.
No, and I think that that's an interesting setup, because if Stamkos wasn't there, would you notice him not being there? And that's where I look at it and go, it's kind of a Kucherov thing now where he's the guy. And sure, Stamkos is still a contributor, don't get me wrong.
Well, he's minus one on a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning.
He's a guy that basically shows up for the power play and nothing else now.
He plays with Braden Point and Kucherov.
Exactly.
And Hedman at the point. Like, he plays on an all-star line on the power play.
I'm interested to see where some of these teams go. We got about 15 minutes to go here. Let's rip through the last few pieces. I don't know if you saw the announcement today. WHL's Winnipeg Ice, a.k.a. the Kootenay Ice. Winnipeg Ice, just over 100 deposits remaining in terms of the maximum amount they were going to sell. They were only going to sell 1,400. So they're somewhere close to being 1,300 deposits already on season tickets for them. That's not bad. Well done, Winnipeg.
There you go.
We'll see if it's sustainable, because they had that huge jump in season tickets when they first got to Kootenay, or when the new ownership took over in Kootenay, that they had that huge bump.
I'll say this only because it needs to be said. Winnipeg Ice fans, if you're going to go to the games, be prepared for a 5-year slog, because this team is bad.
They gotta build.
Like, they're not. Don't get me wrong. They have good players. There's a handful of good players on that team, but everything else on that team is not.
And they are OHL bad, so it's going to be painful.
Yeah, this is going to take this rebuild will be a 5-year rebuild. So be prepared. I know tickets aren't going to be super expensive, but congratulations on the Ice for getting the tickets. So that's a huge number for them, especially when you consider that again they set a limit and said we weren't going to go past that. They're virtually at that limit already, and they haven't even moved the team yet. So good on them. 2019 Female World Sports School Challenge, we covered that this weekend. UMFM was there all weekend. I was there all weekend, basically calling games. Huge, huge weekend in terms of just how good it was. Congratulations go to the Lloydminster Steelers, who ended up winning in overtime in a fantastic game against the host St. Mary's Academy Flames. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal setup in terms of the final there. A couple of goals in the first period, and then no scoring until a minute 30 in overtime. Again, I'll give you the update on that. Peyton Lombach, who is a University of Alberta Pandas recruit, who we hate, opened the scoring early in the first period. She went bar down on Julianne Thompson after breaking away from the pack. Minutes later, Jamie Alexiak, who had a great tournament, I thought, for St. Mary's, took a good feed from Sarah Dennehy out from behind the net. Dennehy's going to be Bison next year. She one time the puck past Bella McKee, who will be going to Union College down in the States, ooh, NCAA. Past Bella McKee to make it 1-1. And then, again, there was like 47 minutes of back-and-forth action where there was no goal. Some amazing, like, don't get me wrong, Thompson and McKee went save for save on. It was incredible, some of the goaltending that we saw. Like, I mean, I've seen some good goaltending in my time. I know you guys. I mean, Jay, you were here on the weekend for the Bison. You saw Miklisch pull that one off the line. We're talking like same kind of stuff at the like. There were goals that should have been scored that somehow didn't go in.
Like Super Bowl type of defense happening?
Like we're talking like pucks would go into the crease and you'd be like, oh, it's going to be, no, it's not a goal. How did that stay out? Where did that go?
There you go.
So in overtime, $1.30 into overtime on the 3-on-3 overtime for 20 minutes is what they're going to play.
Wow.
Which would have been awesome.
There's no way it can go 20 minutes.
Oh, it did not. It went $1.30, like I said. Haley Craig blocked a shot, which led to a 2-on-0 down the ice.
2-0.
Craig pulled away from her teammate there, broke in on Thompson and literally sent a laser to the top corner over the glove from the hash marks. Thompson didn't even move; like she legitimately just stared at Craig coming in and it was over.
Stared at nothing.
And it was a great shot. Huge celebration after that. So congratulations to Lloyd Minster. They had a great tournament. They went 5-0. St. Mary's obviously losing that one game. They ended up second. Ancaster Avalanche from Ontario, just in the Hamilton area. They beat the Winnipeg Avros in the bronze medal game to win the bronze medal. So congratulations to Ancaster as well for picking up the bronze medal there. Avros had a great tournament as well. But lots and lots of good players. Like if you haven't gone to this tournament, folks, I know it's out of the Iceplex and it might be a little bit out of the way. It's the best hockey at this age for these women. Incredible in terms of the number of amazing women that are going to go on to the next level as well. So all sorts of recruits this weekend in terms of people that were playing. These women are outstanding athletes. Deserve to go to this next year, folks. If you're going to do it, it's $5 to get in. Yeah. $5 at the door to get in. Yeah, go and see some of the
We did the show there on Thursday. And I caught a couple minutes of a couple of games and incredible the speed, the skill,
like
everything.
I think of me playing and I'm like, these girls are way better than I was at any point in my career. And they're only like, some of them are only 16.
Even some of the sheer size of some of these girls, like, and then the way they move, it's just like, wow, it's incredible.
So from there, so congratulations again to Lloyd Minster, to St. Mary's, and to Ancaster on picking up medals. If you want the remainder of the results again on Hockey Blog in Canada, I put all the results on there, excuse me. From there though, Manitoba came out this week and said that they're going to send their teams back to the National Aboriginal Hockey Championship, this year taking place in Whitehorse, Yukon.
Nice.
Of that, there were a pile of women that I got to see this weekend that are going to be going to play for Manitoba up in Whitehorse. The thing about this, though, chance for a three-peat for Manitoba's women. They've won the last two gold medals, a chance for a three-peat now. And I don't think there's any doubt that they may have one of the best teams going, because they have a ton of talent going to this tournament. I don't know much about the men's team. They've got a bunch of players from the MJ, a bunch of players from a couple of prep schools, the Rink Hockey Academy, for example. There's a high school player in here. So I don't know a lot about the men's side, but they look like they're going to be a fairly good team as well. But that doesn't happen until May, so we'll talk about that as we come up through the thing. But the fact that a number of these women, again, at the Female World Sports School Challenge are now going to represent Manitoba, again, we're talking about the best hockey players in the province for a lot of these young women.
Yep.
And a lot of them, I mean, again, I had no idea that, again, some of them you just look at and you go, I had no idea that she even was part of this Manitoba Aboriginal Hockey Championship. But, I mean, there's some, like Madeline DeRoger, who played for Eastman. I saw Eastman play three times this past weekend. But DeRoger was a difference maker out there. Like, she stands maybe about 5 feet tall, like, total, like, on skates. She's tiny. But she was a thorn in the side of every team she played in. And she's going to go play for Manitoba now. And I go, she alone could be... I mean, I look at that and I go, if she would have played against me, I would have spent most of my time in the box. Because she legitimately was buzzing all over the ice. So... Yeah, it was fantastic.
And I know they're also scouting out there for Canada games.
Yeah, you said Manitoba. Hockey Canada was out there and Team Manitoba was out there.
So they're scouting for that. So some of those girls, we might see Canada games.
Yeah, you never know. Coming up, Reagan Kirk, obviously playing for Eastman, was out there. She just won the gold medal at the World Under-18 Women's Championship there. So it was good to see her play a couple of games. So congratulations to them. But, yeah, everybody going to for Team Manitoba there to the championship in Whitehorse there. Congratulations on being named to the two teams. That's awesome. Again, we'll discuss that coming up. in a future show. Eugene Melnyk, want to dive into that dementia?
What happened now?
Eugene Melnyk decided that yesterday, he was going to tell the world that it's going to take a couple years to rebuild the Senators, but starting in 2021 through to 2025,
you don't say.
We're going to spend to the cap. We are going to spend to the cap.
Does anybody want to go there so they can spend?
Listen.
Who are they going to pay?
Has somebody checked on Eugene Melnyk lately? I think he's sick. I think there's something wrong.
Early onset dementia for Eugene Melnyk.
I think they're going to sign Milan Lucic, I heard.
If they want to, they might be able to. But he came out and basically said that today. I don't know if anybody believes Eugene Melnyk is even going to be around come 2021. I mean, his fumbling of this franchise and the statements he's making just seem to point to the fact that they need to get him out before they keep him around even further.
So obviously they're not going to sign Duchesne or Stone, I guess.
They're working hard to sign
both
those guys.
Duchesne and Stone said they wouldn't mind playing there.
But not till 2021, though.
But there was like a dozen asterisks after each of those statements.
Yeah.
All these conditions I'd like filled.
The thing we've always seen with Ottawa, though, is that they get these talented players and then they just don't spend the money to keep them. You saw it with Hossa, you saw it with Heatley, you saw it with Spezza. Like, just going down the list, I think Alfredson was the one person that actually stuck it out and said, okay, I'm going to take the hit.
And then he got burnt anyway.
And then there's one common denominator out of all that, and that's Mr. Eugene Melnyk.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that denominator. Yeah. Looking at the other tenants that are at Wayne Fleming Arena this year, as we move on to probably something that's a little bit more important. Jay, it'll be your last games of the season, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Lost to UBC last week and that ended their playoff chances. Yeah.
But they won. You know, they got
some
close.
Some games.
You did see them beat Alberta this year, though.
Like, yeah, they did it twice.
Yeah.
They split their series with Alberta.
Which is ridiculous, but
couldn't split it with anybody else.
I was going to say, which means they should be playing for the
They should be somewhere near the top, but instead they're...
Lethbridge is going to the national championship, and they almost missed the playoffs.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, so it won't be a very...
That's UPEI, though, as well, though. UPEI in the AUS for the women, not very good.
We all know UNB's going to win. They've lost one game in regulation this year. How could they not win the national championship?
Again, it's UNB and seven teams that give them practice. So, yeah. Looking at the women's side, though, a lot of stuff that could happen this weekend, and not so much in terms of standings movement. Basically, Alberta, if they pick up 3 points against Calgary, which should almost be automatic. I'm not going to say that, though. Calgary's going to win both games, right?
Right.
Right. If Alberta can pick up 3 points against Calgary, they lock up first place and home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. Manitoba locked up with their 3 points against UBC last week, locked up a top two spot. They will be second, likely, in terms of when the playoffs open. That means they will get the bye through the quarterfinal.
Oh, good, get a week off.
Here's where things go crazy. UBC has locked up third place. Saskatchewan cannot catch them, and they cannot catch Manitoba. Saskatchewan has locked up fourth place. They cannot be caught by Regina or Mount Royal, and they cannot catch British Columbia. BC plays Regina. Saskatchewan does not play either of those two teams. Saskatchewan plays Manitoba. But BC plays Regina. If BC really wanted to, they're going to need a little bit of help. Mount Royal has to beat Lethbridge at least twice, 4 points to get ahead of Regina. But if they really wanted to, they could really mess with Saskatchewan, because Mount Royal and Saskatchewan this year are 2-2.
Ooh.
And then so Regina would stay out in BC for an extra week. So it's going to be interesting to see how UBC plays this off, because they legitimately have a chance to control their own destiny
as long as
Mount Royal plays along with them.
Yeah, maybe there's going to be a little bit of we'll call it collusion.
I'm not going to say that Graham Thomas is out there making phone calls over to Scott Rivett, but Scotty, if you can pick up 4 points, we'll do you a solid.
There's no collusion, I swear. Wow.
So, it's a witch hunt, I swear. Witch hunt,
yeah. So likely Manitoba will end up playing one of either BC or Saskatchewan in the semifinal, which means that'll be at home here.
Can we not do Saskatchewan again?
You know what? I don't want to do BC. Two overtime games, we just saw that this past weekend. Two overtime games, and it was insane in terms of Bison scoring with three seconds left in game two there. I don't want to do... Alone, the number of heart patients that will have heart trouble will have this if those two meet up. Insane. But
the bags under our eyes will be jet black.
At least there's good hockey at the Phlegm.
We'll figure out where we go from there. Last topic as we get out of here. 3 minutes to go here in the show. We've got to get ourselves ready to roll here. Patrick Laine. Jets play Montreal tonight. What do you do what do you do with Patrick Laine? I'll just throw it out to you guys quickly. What do you do with Patrick Laine?
Don't listen to the screaming fans. Don't trade him. Just, you know, give him the opportunity. He's a professional. He's done it before. Professionals fall into slumps. Just let him do his thing, and he'll eventually get back on track.
Even if it's in a wheelchair, put Nikolaj Ehlers on the ice.
Good idea.
So here's my thing, I was on a different radio station this morning talking about this, but Patrick Laine right now, watching that power play against San Jose where he had the three straight shots and seeing how dejected he was, the Mark Scheifele goal pointed out the entire problem with Patrick Laine right now. He doesn't pass the puck to anybody else. And all Martin Jones did was cheat on him all night. Yeah. Every time the puck went towards Laine, he was already halfway across the net. And that Scheifele goal that they scored that was disallowed, unfortunately, Jones was already cheating across to Laine at that point. And that's the problem right now. If Laine, and I'm not saying he has to change his entire game, but if Laine played more like Wheeler and that he distributed the puck occasionally.
He's a good passer, too.
He's a fantastic passer. Great passer. He's on pace for 15 assists this year.
Yeah.
There is no, and I've gone through the numbers, there is no season, the lowest total that Alexander Ovechkin ever posted when he scored 50 goals was 21 assists. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You have to be able to open up your own areas to shoot from, and by doing that, you need to pass the puck to other people.
Because nobody's expecting you to pass the puck.
They don't respect the shot anymore because they know it's coming every single time. Exactly.
And Laine doesn't have what Ovechkin has, where Ovechkin literally overpowers people with his shot. He doesn't have an accurate shot. He has a powerful shot.
Yeah.
Laine doesn't have a powerful shot. He has an accurate shot. So he has to...
I mean, it's powerful too, but I mean, at the same time, he's got to move lower. He's got to move lower
again,
in that zone.
Again, distribute the puck.
If
he would have gone one touch pass back to Scheifele on one of those three passes from Wheeler, Scheifele had a wide open net to shoot. I know it's the wrong hand. But if that's the case, then slide Kyle Connor in there. Slide Kyle Connor up if it goes across the line. Do the switch between Scheifele and Connor and let Connor do that, and then switch back if it goes back to Wheeler.
Yeah.
It's not a hard switch to make.
And they were rotating a bit on that power.
Exactly.
But it just seemed discombobulated a bit, that rotation. Like, he didn't look like he knew where he was quite going, and he ended up on the wrong side, and he was just like, I don't know what's happening.
But that's the thing, though. They got to look at getting him to pass the puck more, because if he does, he'll open up the ice for his shot again, and he'll prevent the goalies and the defense from cheating on him. And that's the problem I see right now, because goaltenders do not respect him right now.
He needs to not play with Brian Little anymore.
You can't choose your family just like you can't choose your line mates. And Paul Maurice needs to do something, but I can't say what at this point because there's no real other options right now. But
well, we've given Matthew Perreault.
Matthew Perreault would be good. Set. But then you break up that solid third line.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem. Yeah. Going to get out of here right away, though. Stay tuned for Free Range Radio as we are out of time. Jason, what are you working on for the Manitoban this week?
I got that editorial just talking about, you know, what happened with AUS. Kellen is interviewing, I think, Cassie Bouillon of the women's volleyball team. Just regular recaps and all that action.
Right on. That sounds good then. Pick up your copy of the Manitoban anywhere on campus. Always a good read there. Beans, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Stay warm, everybody. Drive safe. It's slippery out there.
It is. It's crazy.
It's horrible.
There.
Yeah. Everything is horrible.
We are out of here for another week, everybody, here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week.